Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David David Fuller on Monday the 3rd of March, and I'm recording at 9:40 p.m. and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, my goodness, what an interesting day we've had here today. And it all started, as you'll be well aware, with the surprise, as far as just about everyone was concerned, move by Vladimir Putin to push a lot of ground troops into Crimea, well over 6,000, evidently, in that peninsula. And one of the reasons that it was such a surprise is that everybody was saying that, well, being a KGB operative type, that we were unlikely to see the sort of old Cold War tactics, he would probably attempt to do things by stealth. That's no doubt there will be some stealth as well along the way, but certainly this was a startling invasion, and people inevitably reacted very negatively to that overall. Now, perhaps some of those reactions are correct, but I'd be careful. I'd be careful on that, because as far as I believe, actually, not a shot's been fired by those Russian troops so far. And are they going to spread throughout the Ukraine entire country? Probably not, would be my guess. But I think that what we know, despite a lot of exaggerated fears, because when you get a situation like this, people always say, oh my goodness, you know, this could go wrong, that could go wrong. This is, you know, little wars in the past have led to big wars. Well, inevitably, any big war is going to have a small beginning of some sort. I think it's probably highly unlikely the U.S. and Europe, the UK will certainly offer lots of encouragement to the Ukrainians, and they will also be critical of Russia. But, you know, when you look at the whole history of Russia in Crimea, it's hardly surprising that they regard that as really their own territory, and it's extremely important strategic base for Russia. So is the rest of the world going to get into a major fight with Russia over this? My own guess is no. But this could be this could drag on for quite a while. I think that's inevitable, and it could very easily, all too easily, become nastier. Hopefully not too much so. And to put things in short-term perspective, at least it seems to be, it hasn't been as damaging as what we saw in Kiev with all that civil war fighting over the two previous weeks or more, considerably more, actually. Okay, so what actually happened in here today? Well, stock markets took plenty of fright here in the earlier trading overall. Take the Asia-Pacific region, just about everything was down, except for China, which had a decent gain in here today, although under 1%, and 0.9%, I think, for the Shanghai Composite Index, which has all the banks. Thailand also was somewhat higher, but just about everything else was down, and that included India, down over 0.8%. And mind you, India had been on a bit of a run, as had a number of markets last month. And the INR, that's that Indian currency against the U.S. dollar, has edged back above, fractionally back above that 62 level, and the central bank wants to keep it between 62 and 60 rupiah. So that weighed on India a little bit. And the Chinese currency, well worth mentioning, because I've talked about this in previous audios, as is Owen, obviously, but that reached a low in January. It was just below 6.04 renminbi to the US dollar. And it pushed up on Friday, got up to a high of 6.175, and then left a bit of tail on the chart. In other words, it couldn't hold the gains. And same thing happened again today, but nevertheless, it's still been up 10 days in a row, although it's lost momentum over the last couple of days. But unquestionably, since this is a controlled currency, this is a change in policy by the Chinese government. And I would not be surprised if they weaken the currency further in coming months. They may feel that they've done enough for now, but if the Chinese recovery remains soft, that they certainly have the option and would use it, as we've seen in the past, to weaken that currency further. You might remember a few weeks ago when Owen and I, back in January, when Owen and I mentioned that in getting down to nearly 6 renminbi to the US dollar, that they had just about retraced the whole of the, I believe it was 1994 devaluation in the currency. So, but China was somewhat stronger here, and it's probably less correlated to other to today, and it's less correlated to other stock markets, as you have clearly seen over not only this year but over a good many years than most other stock markets. Well, what else happened? Well, Europe took it on the chin in here today. Most of that selling, as I say, came relatively early in the day, and then Europe closed when the US was at one of its weaker points overall. So, biggest decline, German DAX index down 3.44%. Now, you can see the vulnerability of Europe because it gets a big chunk, if not most of its oil and gas coming in from Russia. And also, the European Union had been discussing with the Ukraine a possible move of joining the European Union at some point. So there seemed to be somewhat on the front here of all this. Now, Wall Street was again, most of the selling occurred earlier on. We had some quite panicky moves, and then it clawed back, at least a third of those declines. So the S&P 500 down 0.75%. So that's not too bad a performance here overall. But I don't think this is over. Obviously, the situation in Crimea is not over, and there is a risk that it spreads beyond Crimea and throughout the rest of the Ukraine. Although, as I said before, hopefully not, but it will continue to cause some uncertainty. And also, it's caught rather these stock markets at a short-term overbought level, because in this choppy environment, which we've seen so far this year, which is very much what this service has been forecasting after those outstanding gains from 2013. So we had a very overbought, short-term overbought condition at the beginning of January, and then a down month. And we're quite oversold at the end of January, and a big rally in February, and first day of March, we see these downward dynamics. So the background of overbought stock markets does leave them vulnerable to some further ranging to the downside. And if that's too pessimistic, as a general rule of thumb, you look at almost any of these indices, European and US indices, any other indices that had been quite high recently, they would really have to move up back above their February highs to offset the possibility of moving somewhat lower towards their 200-day moving averages. And I don't see that happening here in the short term. We may see more even more level trading here tomorrow, but I think this is going to be a lingering problem here for a while. Okay, what else did it do here? U.S. Government bond yields with Wall Street down. Overall, the yields came down to 2.6% for that 10-year. So, in terms of the big picture, the big long-term picture, that's a very favorable monetary tailwind here for the U.S. economy. There's nothing there that's alarming in terms of the monetary policy. And the U.S. manufacturing data for February came in at 53.2, and that's up from 51.3 in January. So almost 2 points higher, which is not bad here overall. Elsewhere, let's see, currencies, the US dollar index. Well, the US dollar is a little firmer here all around. The euro eased back a little bit to 1.3733. That was very steady last week, as you may recall. And sterling eased back as well, also having been quite firm last week, but closed here, or still trading after hours, at 1.6663. And gold. Gold had a nice move in here today, the strongest of the precious metals. And gold bullion, as I speak, is up over $24, and it's at 1350.6. Silver also firmer, but it couldn't really hold those gains. But 2138, I think, on that silver, and platinum also higher, 1460 and change. And palladium, which is in a tight range here. Palladium, not a bad performance, 750, up $5.5 overall. The industrial metals mixed, crude oil higher, up to 104.83, and Brent was also a little higher. Just put that up here so I can be sure where that's. Brent's up $2 to 111.09, and Brent's the one really to watch. Now, I've been saying that I didn't really want to see that get above that 120 level, so we're only $9 away from that overall. And crude oil, given that Russia's a big producer and also has the potential, as people have been saying, to cut off supplies, although I'd be very surprised if they did, but we can't fully write off these possibilities. The global economy is always susceptible to a spike in energy prices. Hopefully that won't happen. I don't think it will happen, but we certainly have a wild card here in the Russian situation, which could create, if that gets a little bit out of control, or in other words, clearly worsens, that could create an oil spike, which would be damaging. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.